All right, welcome everybody. Thank you for participating again this year and welcome the new members. I think everybody looks pretty familiar from last year with the exception of we do have new food service. So I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hello everybody, my name is Jennifer Gundry. I am replacing Tomas. Yeah, so nice to meet everybody. Some faces are familiar, but I can't wait to meet everybody. Thank you.
So I believe we still have a co-chair and chair from...
Was that a question?
Are y'all still willing and able? Is, I guess, my question.
Yes, okay.
So our chair and co-chair from last year were Randy West and Courtney
Stinsrud.
Stinsrud, thank you. Didn't want to butcher it. So as Mr. Adams had mentioned, there has been some changes, and so I'm gonna pretty much let him kind of go over those changes and what Shack is all about, and then we'll go over all of the the programs that we've had and already presented this year and or planning to present. So
absolutely. Thank you, Ms. Gwaltney, for that. Again, thank you for your time on being on the Shack committee and for being here today. I know we're all busy, and you know, this is one more thing to that list, but it's also a really important activity, and it's just really exciting seeing some community members and parents along with our staff here. When we look at really the list of items that the Shack is involved with, it's pretty impressive. And when we talk about things that we've already accomplished this year, it's pretty impressive. We've accomplished a lot already, and this is just our first Shack meeting. And so one item which is not on here, and we talked about it last night in the school board meeting, but we are, it's time for us to renew our district of innovation. And so that's a pretty common feature that most of the districts in the state of Texas have. But one of the elements of the district of innovation, and Ms. Gwaltney showed this to me because Johnson City has it in their DOI plan, is we're required to meet four times a year as a Shack committee. And, you know, a lot of us, serve on booster clubs or other committees or other areas of support. And four times can be a lot. Johnson City has that in their DOI plan, and where they don't have to meet four times a year. And so there are some favorable responses to that. That's something for us to maybe kind of talk about. We don't really make that decision, but that can be a recommendation when we look at our DOI planning committee, provided at the next board meeting the board assigns a DOI planning committee for that, just part of the process. But that's something which is out there, but that's something which we would have the ability to do. But just looking at our board policy for Shack roles and responsibilities, Shack is a school health advisory committee. And so here we go. So the board shall establish a local Shack to assist the district in ensuring that local community values are reflected in the district's health education instruction. And we're required to meet four times a year unless we put that in the district of innovation plan, and then we might, that part might change. Part of this is to establish a physical activity and fitness planning subcommittee to consider issues related to student physical activity and fitness and make policy recommendations to increase physical activity and improve fitness among students. Another part of the duties for the Shack is recommending the number of hours of instruction provided in health education K through 8, and if the district requires health education for high school, policies, procedures, and strategies for specific grade levels to prevent physical health concerns, including obesity, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, mental health concerns, including suicide, appropriate grade level and method of instruction for human sexuality instruction, coordinated school health program. We have a separate slide to talk about that. If feasible, joint use agreements for collaboration between district and community organizations, which we do have in place. Appropriate grade levels and curriculum for instruction regarding opioid addiction and methods for administering an opioid antagonist. And we actually participated in the Drug-Free Comfort partnership with local community members and the sheriff's office, and the opioid addiction was one of the elements that was addressed in the parent session and the student session. Available community programs and services that address risky behaviors, suicide risk, and behavioral health concerns. When we look at a coordinated school health program, this looks at our school health services, including physical health services and mental health services, comprehensive counseling program, safe and healthy school environment, and school employee wellness. When we look at policy recommendations, this concerns the importance of daily recess for elementary school students, increasing parental awareness of suicide-related risk factors and warning signs, and available community suicide prevention services. When we talk about a character education program, and this is an element which we've asked our campuses to look at and make some recommendations with, and Shaq can also help with that as well. The character education program, including the following positive character education traits: courage, trustworthiness, integrity, respect, courtesy, responsibility, fairness, caring, good citizenship, school pride, and gratitude. And then also we talk about our wellness plan, and that font got really small up there, but we review and consider evidence-based strategies and techniques and shall develop nutrition guidelines and wellness goals. And Jennifer being in here is a real big part of that with our food service through Aramark. The Shack shall develop a wellness plan to implement the district's nutrition guidelines and wellness goals, including strategies for soliciting improvement by and input from persons interested in the wellness plan and policy, objective benchmarks and objective and activities for implementing the wellness goals, methods for measuring implementation of the wellness goals, the district standards for food and beverages provided but not sold to students during the school day, and the manner of communicating to the public applicable information about the wellness policy and plan. The Shack reviews and revises the plan on a regular basis and makes recommendations to the wellness policy when necessary. And the implementation is our district nurse shall oversee the implementation of this policy and development and implementation of the wellness plan and appropriate administrative procedures. And one of the elements we're going to work on this year is really kind of tackling that and kind of getting that where it's really relevant where we are today. So there's going to be some different people involved with that. And that's what our board policy says about the overarching elements of the Shack. So there's not really a lot we do, right? Wrong. There's a lot which is involved with this, and many of those elements we've already tackled, or we have elements or programs in place with that, and it gives us an opportunity to, you know, just keep sharpening the saw and getting better is really what that does. But it's always good when we start a group is to just review what the policy says with that, and that's what it does. So as we go through, as Dana leads us through the agenda here, we're going to see, oh, that's that part. Oh, that's that part. But as we continue to go through this, and even in between meetings, if there's ideas about ways that we can, you know, how do we do this, or could we be better at a particular element of it, you know, that's part of the Shack is providing those recommendations to help us with that. Are there any questions? With the recording, nobody's going to ask. Okay, Ms. Gwaltney, thank you.
So we do have lots of programs that we've offered in the past and that we've already provided this year, some that are on the list to provide. Safe Side Adult is one that's guided lessons for that the counselor, our CES counselor, does. Good Choices. She also helps manage the food backpack program, the Red Ribbon Week, parenting skills meetings, careers for you, college readiness, Rachel's Challenge, and bullying prevention, shoe blessing, individual counseling, group counseling, Thanksgiving program, Christmas program, KC Club, the April Abuse Awareness Month. Goodness gracious. So I'm going to let you kind of say a little bit about each of those programs, if you don't mind.
Most of them are guided lessons. They take about 30 minutes each lesson, age appropriate, depending on the subject. Safe Side Adult is just teaching them about, you know, not answering the door when you're home alone or anything like that, that you want to always have a safe adult with you, not talking to strangers, things like that. Good Choices, that's some of the character traits. We'll go through those with lessons with those. The Red Ribbon Week just went past us, and we did drug-free on campus and had red ribbons everywhere. Careers for You, I'm doing this week. With the little ones, we set goals and talk about our interests and stuff like that. And then with third grade, I get on Texas Genuine, and they do an interest test, and then they can see what kind of jobs. And then there's a different form of that for fourth grade. And then fifth grade, I give them Reality Check Texas, where they set up, do you want to still be living at home when you're 30, or do you want to live in a house? And then they build this budget for you. And this is how much money you need to make a month. This is the kind of job that would provide you that kind of money if that's what you wanted to do. So it just kind of opens their eyes to different careers and things out there. College readiness I do in the spring, and that's just introducing them to different universities on College Board. The sooner you can plant that seed, the better. Shoe blessing this year actually wasn't in February, it was in September, so it's already come and gone. And then the Thanksgiving program is with HCTC. They buy 10 meals for families, and I've identified those families. And then the Christmas program, we sent letters home of the children's shoe sizes and everything. Their names are kept confidential. And with the Lutheran Church, they go shopping for the students, and then I put the presents back with what family they need to be with, and I figure that out. The KC Club meets on Fridays. I have a small group of kindergartners through second graders, and then third graders through fifth graders on every other Friday. And we talk about bully prevention. They're my ambassadors on campus, so if they see something at recess or they see something at lunch, they can come and report those things to me so that we can try and stop things before they become an issue. So, and then we're back to your stuff.
maturation program we will offer again for the fifth grade class. Last year we were able to catch that one group up in the sixth grade level that missed it due to COVID, so we did do fifth and sixth last year. So we'll continue with just the fifth grade this year. Dental wellness, unfortunately I don't think we're going to get that back. We'll probably just do hygiene presentations, but it was wonderful when we did have the local dentists coming in and actually screening the kids, but I'm afraid that that's come to an end after all the COVID stuff. But all the state mandated vision, hearing, and acanthosis screenings have been done. We're starting to send out second referral if they haven't responded to the first one. So hopefully we'll get a little bit more back from them sending those out. The balanced food and play program is usually presented by the third grade class. That was introduced a few years ago, and I think it's been a pretty good success. Walkathon, I hear we're going to have again this year. Can you vouch for that? Yes?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Absolutely. I believe the PTA is still planning on putting that on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good deal. DARE program, I know that they're fixing to have a graduation for the fifth grade class. My concern on that is, again, COVID. The sixth grade class did not get to partake in that. I did make send a message via email to DARE America, which was suggested, to see if we could get some extra funding, because that's what I'm understanding is the issue, is funding. They had the funding to do the fifth grade class, but didn't have the funding to catch the sixth grade class up. So I don't know if there's anybody that can have any advice on how we can get that funded.
How much is it?
I asked Clariner to give me a breakdown, and I haven't gotten that from him. When I was just kind of conversing, they mentioned somewhere around $1,600, and that's for the workbooks and all of the presentation stuff. I told him that I did reach out to the DARE America, and he said they're probably just going to refer it back to the local DARE. So I don't know if, even with maybe some of your resources, if you have any.
You're talking about sixth grade?
Yes.
We have a curriculum that it's 10 weeks, and it starts off with social emotional learning. There's goal setting, decision making, identifying, managing emotions, peer pressure, and then can't remember what the last one is, but then it talks about substance use. It is, you know, age appropriate, and that's, you know, it's free. They get workbooks and all that. We can absolutely set that up if that's something y'all are interested in.
That would be fantastic.
Who does the presenting of it?
My colleague Claire O'Brien.
So other places that use it, like, do they do it during the PE class? When do they do it?
It depends. So right now she is in Centerpoint, and she'll be in Kerrville next semester. So just depending, but in Centerpoint they do it during PE because that's the easiest. So I know sometimes they get a little antsy because it's their PE time, but that's probably.
Well, and I'm also wondering if this is the ideal time to try and get it rolling with the gym being flooded and repaired. Yeah. They're kind of doing a health class right now.
We have the middle school PE teacher. In
I'm here. I'm with it. I've taught health before, so I've gone down your road before. I've done it all.
Well, okay. Has there been a conversation with Mr. Colton about this?
No.
So that would be really probably the next step with that. But could, I mean, we thought it would be kind of cool to have a swim program, and it didn't work out. And so, I mean, this really is.
Right.
Could they do it now?
I don't know what her schedule is like off the top of my head. But
I'm kind of putting you on the spot.
Yeah. Let me reach out to her.
Maybe if we could find out.
Do you want me to have her talk with Mr. Colvin then?
Yes.
To set up? Okay.
Yes.
I will do that.
You good with that, Coach?
Easy money. I can do it. It's easy.
I mean, that's finding the silver lining and the fact that the, you know, gym. Hey, the good news is we're going to get a brand new free gym floor. I mean, that's the really good news.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you when they said. Like, they said good stuff, but I don't. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
But when it's all said and done, we're going to have, like, a brand new gym floor. Okay.
And I didn't see you come in, so if you want to introduce yourself.
I'm Hank Steigler, middle school PE and coach. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Coach Steichler always has a smile on his face. I love that about him. That's my favorite part about you, is that you always have a smile on your face.
And he had another meeting after school, so. Bike rodeo, I don't know if they're planning on resuming that or not. That's
I talked to our SRO officer about that, and he was unaware, so he was going to talk to Kevin.
Okay. Fire department safety prevention, I believe, have already come in and visited with all of our cute little munchkins. Mentoring, that's another Miss Arnold.
We have 16 participating this year that pull out for 30 minutes. Kindergartners, first graders, and second graders. They read to them a little bit, visit with them, and just kind of be their mentor. It's a really good program.
And Watchdogs is another new program this year. That's where dads come in and help, I think, with lunch duty and walking kids to class. I'm not sure what all else they do, but
there's a Chris Mucci is the one who is heading that up, and he had a sign up, if you will, that involved pizza and having all these dads show up, and they signed up for a dad a day all year long to come to school. They get there at the same time teachers get there in the morning, and they leave at the end of the day. They're opening car doors at the beginning, at the beginning of the morning, welcoming kids. They're up and down the halls. They're in their own kids' classroom. They're recognizing other kids that the more times that they show up, the kids that are just kind of seeking like an adult male role model and touching base with those kiddos. High-fiving kids, they're at lunch duty. It's been a fantastic program, so I'm glad that was something that we were able to implement this year.
So on to middle school, Red Ribbon Week again, that was the same time for all campuses. They also do a sexting and bullying program. I think maybe she's even working on some lesson plans, the counselor over there on that. Child advocacy of Kerrville. I guess they were doing a gender awareness during PE. Did they complete that? Do you know? Okay. And then AIM for Success program that has already presented for both middle school and high school in September.
And let me kind of jump in the AIM for Success. My understanding of the history of the AIM for Success is that the SHAC committee, like before my time, made the recommendation to bring AIM for Success in, and this is part of our sexuality education. And so the law has changed. So one of those things Ms. Gwaltney was talking about with changes is that it used to be parents could opt out, but they changed it to opt in. Well, all of those phone calls that y'all kept getting, if you have a secondary kid, about, you know, the opt-in and the AIM for Success and all of that, the reason why is our response rate was like 30%. So we had 30% say yes, and then like 70% say no, or didn't take the sheet home to get you to sign. I'm sure none of our kids did that. So then the offices were calling because, one, it's an expensive program to bring in. It's not cheap. They don't do it for free, but it's a really good program. So at our parent night, there were a handful of parents that were unsure, and they came to it, heard what the presenter was going to say, and they all signed up. And so that was really good. We only had a handful of folks at the parent night for that. And we know it gets busy and all of that. So all of that to say is that with the new law about opting in, we didn't have enough to really continue to do that probably. But we've done it every other year. But it's just something for us to consider, and if we think that this is really, really important, and the presenter did a great job. I mean, it was the same presenter that came 2 years ago. Really, really a good job. I was in all the student presentations. The kids did a really good job. He makes difficult conversations. He puts humor to it and does it in a really, really good way. It's just something for us to kind of keep thinking about and talking about. The good news is, since we do it every other year, next year's not on the cycle for it. But because of the new rule, it really kind of, I don't know if that was the purpose of the rule, but that was the outcome of it. So I just wanted to share that with our group, and we'll just have continued conversations about that. If we can be better at, you know, how to get information out, you know, things like that, we want to do whatever we need to do with that. But especially our parents in here, just, you know, think about that. And so that's, are there any questions about the aim for success? Okay. Thank you.
So then we're on to high school programs. I might actually let you and Gina cover those.
We did Red Ribbon Week the same time everybody else did. Yeah. And what we did this year is we had dress-up days. But other than that, each day I had an announcement that had to do with drug awareness, and then I would have just a really short video clip that I would send out to the teachers and students for them to watch during advocate. So it was all through, can't think of it, PACER is who I got the program stuff from. So it was really good. The videos were very, very short, but they were athletes or professional people talking about what kept them from getting involved in drugs and things in high school, and just about them setting goals for their lives and already knowing what they wanted and knowing that they didn't want, that wasn't going to get them where they wanted to go. So I thought they were really good. I sent them also out to the other, to the junior high to share with their students as well. We haven't done teens in the driver's seat in a long time, so I don't know. We need to talk to Kevin and about that. Mm-hmm. And then we did the drug free comfort along with the other schools. The Scared Straight, I guess we're still trying to decide about that. I don't know.
I haven't heard any more. Mm-hmm.
This is the year for Shattered Dreams, but we haven't been, huh?
We've talked about.
Okay, so she says it's been talked about. So it's an expensive thing, but I guess we'll find out about that. When Sean speaks, it's been a few years since he came.
About three.
Yeah.
About 3 years.
So I don't know where we're at on that. The video on binge drinking, I do that presentation, and every 2 or 3 years, because the same kids are coming through and they don't want to watch it, and it gets to where it's not really received well if we do it too often. But it was put up, it's actually a family whose daughter died from binge drinking at a party, has put this program together, and it's really about knowing the signs of when your friend's in trouble. And the thing that I fully believe that this is something we need to continue doing, because I have heard kids say, "Remember what Miss Brummett told you?" And there's been kids that have come to me and said, "Hey, what you taught us, we realized that someone was in trouble one night." Because in reality, some of them are going to end up in those circumstances, and they need to know, you call 911. You're not going to be arrested if you stay and you take care of that person. So that's what the video, that's what that program's really about. And so the little girl in the video dies, which is the parents who's made this program. And just really talking about, how do you know they're in trouble? How, you know, what do you do at a party? And just things to watch and things to do. And so I think it's a really good program. So it's been a couple of years, so I need to find out if we can do that this year. The Bullying Prevention Week, it's kind of the same thing. I did announcements and sent out little videos for the classroom for them to watch during advocate, and we had Rachel's Challenge come, and so we have a Rachel's Club. It's called FORE, right? F-O-R-E. And they've got some stuff put up. They've got a poster in the wall, in the hall over there with little hands, and the students are supposed to write on it something positive about someone else at school. And, you know, it has to be, you're kind, you're, you know, I like your hair. Like, it's got to be a compliment, and it has to be only to students, because sometimes they want to compliment teachers, and obviously that's not really appropriate for high school.
Ms. Bremmett, would you share what happened the day after the Rachel's Challenge presentation where students were apologizing to one another?
Oh, yes. That was huge. Students were going up to students and being like, I've been a jerk, like, I'm so sorry. And lots of tears, lots of good realizing, right, that
we had three young people that came in. Well, the young man came to my office first, and he was confused because this girl had come up and apologized to him, and he was like, I don't know if she was saying stuff about me. So he ended up pulling the girl in and this other boy, and we're all talking. We'll come to find out the reason why she was apologizing is because she was thinking back to some things that she had said to him when they were like in middle school or elementary a long time ago. And so she was, in retrospect, you know, apologizing for those. It wasn't anything recent. And then another boy had made a comment, and he didn't realize that it had bothered the other young man. And the other young man told him, yes, when you say this, this is how I feel. And the boy recognized that and said, well, I didn't know that it made you feel that way. And so then he apologized for making him feel that way. But there were, it was like having three adults in my office, wasn't it? And mm-hmm. I mean, Ms. Bremmett sat in there that day. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow. And it all came out of that program.
Baby violence. When it says looking for a presenter, was it last year we had the lady Claudia come in? Yes, it was last year. We had Claudia come in from the women's shelter in Kendall County. She did a really good job. She came, I want to say, 4 weeks in a row, maybe, and we did it by grade levels during that study hall period. But she would just talk about what to look for in someone, how they should treat you, how you should treat them, what are the red flags for dating, what are the things, you know, that you should accept, what should you not accept, setting goals for what you want in a dating relationship. It was really, really good. And I think the kids really got into it. They paid a lot of attention when she was here, because she talked about professional people that had, you know, she was talking about how they're not just, these aren't just people that you don't know, random people. There are professionals and actors and famous people who fall into dating violence because they don't know any other way. Like, you know, it's just a slow thing that they get into it, and how hard it is to get out of it. So I haven't contacted her yet to see if she comes back again this year, but I would like her to. The Joshua Project, I did that one last year. We did that I did it by grade level during Advocate as well, and it's another program that was put together by a family whose child committed suicide because of bullying. And so it's all about how, there's a video that they watch, and it shows like how the different players, the people in kids in the program, their high schoolers, how it affects them when they say stuff about them, you know. And like, just it showed like the home situation where you think that they're going home to this great place, and so you just think they're just saying stuff, but then they're going home, sometimes they're going home to parents that aren't supportive of them and don't, you know, give them that good support. So I really like that one, but I think that's something also we need to just do every couple of years, don't you, Mrs. Womble? And we really didn't want to do it this year in light of what happened at the very beginning of our school year. So we did have a suicide here at Comfort High School this fall, like almost as soon as school started.
Yeah, about 3 days after school started.
Yeah, so it was very, very difficult for students, for adults, for everybody. So we just decided probably not a good year to do that one. And then the Aim for Success we did have. And then Mrs. Womble has started a thing called Comfort Way Awards. I'm going to let her talk about that. It's really...
It's based on the pillars of character, trustworthiness, respect, responsibility, caring, fairness, and citizenship. And once a month, a teacher can nominate a student that she feels or he feels has displayed one of those pillars of character. And so it gives the teachers an opportunity not to only recognize a kid that makes an A in their class, but a kid that's just a good kid and is doing the right thing and being where they should be and trying hard. And so that's what we really liked about it. And so they come in, they nominate them once a month. It's the third Friday of every month. We recognize them here. We have a little breakfast. We invite their parent. Their parent comes in. And then we have like a slideshow, and the teacher actually presents the award to the student in front of the parents. And we've had, really 100%. And the kids, I think we've only had one child that came without a parent. And that was only because the parent had a conflict. We do it at 7:30 before school starts. If they work, they can still, make it into a job.
It's really good. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much all I could think of. Can you think of anything else? So, Ms. Stanley or Ms. Longwell, can you think of anything else we do?
No, we're fixing to do spinal screening here. That's coming up. Dana and I are working on a date for the spinal screening that we need to be doing. On December 1st for our 5th grade girls, some 7th grade girls, 8th grade boys. So we'll be doing that state mandated testing coming up. Other than that, like you said, that we just have kids just coming in, asking questions about different things and pertaining to suicide and bullying and...
Which I think all of this education, I'm just passionate about it because what happened at the beginning of the
has
year
affected
here,
these
now
kids
we've got a Tybee
like,
student
yeah.
that was due to drinking and speeding. And
so it affects these students. Shortly afterwards, we had another student that had verbalized that she wanted to do the same thing. And, it's been a big... It's been a big challenge.
I've had several of those this year.
Yeah.
That's a big thing with that the state of Texas is really pushing counselors to do is more of that teaching kids how to rebound from bad things, from bad days. Like I always tell the kids, think back, has every day been a bad day? Kind of thing. But kids, they're so in the moment, they're so used to the instant gratification from their phones. I talked to the ones that come in about how people are lonely because they talk through social media and they never sit down with each other, and it's not the same. So I talked to them about that, but we've had
quite a few.
We've had
in.
My door's been in Ms. Womble's door. So,
and then she was out and they were in my door and back over to her door, and so yes,
yeah,
we've had lots of that to deal with this year.
I really would like to be able to go into the classrooms either during Advocate or at some point during the day and work with kids just on character, just on being proud of who they are, not having to be given to peer pressure, those kind of things. How to respect themselves, when you have a bad day, what do? What are some ways you can cheer yourself up or, change your mood and stuff like that? Yeah.
So there's a program called Value Up.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've ever looked into that, but when we were in Hondo, I was in charge of a group. We did an advisory group, and every Wednesday, we had an advocate, but it was every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we did character education lessons. So we kind of alternated. We had... it was the third year we chose Value Up. So we'd use Value Up, and then we do all the lessons like you're talking about, suicide, dating, violence, prevention, all that stuff was in the advocate period. And the teachers actually got the material from a group of people that actually put it together for them. It was scripted for them all the way through, and they could add their own ideas into it.
So the teachers did it with the students
yes,
in the classroom.
And it was,
I like that. Yeah,
it was weekly. Every Wednesday, so we would start the topic on the first Wednesday of the month, and then the second topic. By the third week, we'd have some type of team building activity. we would skip over that, have a team building activity for the entire school. They'd all have different activities by grade level. That way it kept rotating through. And then the third week would have been followed up either by counselor's corner, the counselor talking to them as groups, or it would be followed up by a speaker like you're talking about. And it was really interesting to have that in the classroom and all the teachers doing the work and perspective there. All it took was a group of people to put it together, which, you know, took probably 3 or 4 meetings a month to get it done, but it was awesome. It was effective, and we did it for 3 years. It started from scratch the first year. Second year, got a program called Habitudes that was decent. By the third year, it was Value Up, and it was really good, and it was what you're talking about, you know, trying to get kids to see the value in themselves, the value in their community, the value in their school, the value in their friends. And it kind of progressed through all that. So if you want to look for a program, check that one out too.
Yeah. Thank you. What age does that usually?
That was high school.
Just high school?
That was high school, but it can't be pushed out. I mean, some of the stuff we did was could have been geared towards junior high as well.
Okay.
I thought it was effective. It was me and Lauren and about 4 other teachers that did it. And, you know, over time, it was really effective, I thought.
That sounds like a great program, because I know you counselors have limited time to actually spend with kids, which is unfortunate, and that would at least...
Yeah, and the good thing is you can put it on a rotating schedule, too. You know, you can have one grade level do this, and the next level do this, the third level, they could meet with the counselor, and then the other level could do the team building, and then you can rotate it around. That way... it just keeps going and going and going. The counselor's not bombarded all the time, every week, and they're not meeting with the whole school. They're meeting with a specific group or grade level, and then it just keeps rotating down. Pretty easy to do, I mean, once you put it together, and if you decide what you want to do.
All right,
the teachers, you talk to them, you reinforce the fact that you're going to do all the work, or your group is going to do all the work, and it's going to be there for them. They put their 2 cents in to the lesson, but they don't have to do the work.
Right.
So they really appreciate that fact, that they didn't have to do it. We did it for them.
Thank you. I like that. I'll talk to Lauren more about that.
She was my main go-to. She was really good at it.
For sure.
I think Coach Easterly is using 2 words, character development, with all the athletes.
Yes, ma'am.
And so that's another great program that we could extend down to the elementary campus and use that on our level as well. That's something that could go both ways, you know, all the way up.
Yeah. I mean, the 2 words is really geared towards athletes itself. It's okay. I mean, it's a good program. It's okay.
Miss, do you have a question?
Yeah, I'm just looking. Some of these things are planned every 2 or 3 years. What's the limiting factor on why that's not every year? That some of these,
I think, attention, financial,
but some of them are just because the kids get to where it. I don't know what the word I'm looking for here is, but where they
lose their attention span.
Yeah, well, they just it doesn't make any impact on them because they've seen it every year. It's kind of like when a parent tells them the same thing over and over, you know, and they're like, oh, here we go again. It's the same video, the same this. And so we do it to where, with certain grades, to where it will rotate through and we'll hit all the grades eventually. So that's the main reason for the ones I do. That's the reasons we do them every 2 years. Or I do it every 2 years. But the other ones, I know financial things. Like you said, the Aim for Success is a very expensive program.
Well, like Aim for Success is, and it's the same. It's the same message, but as you know, a 7th grader hearing it versus a 9th grader, you pick up different things with it. But it becomes the hearing the same message each year, and just trying to have some variety with that.
And time, setting aside time for it, because you know you have to focus on STAR. It's just our reality of our world here at the high school. So, not to say we can't fit this in, I'm just saying, you know, that we use our advocate time to tutor those students who are struggling in their core courses and whatnot. So, but we can always find time. Always find time.
I believe there's a couple of new programs.
Yeah, so the character education program, this is something which is new in policy. And so that's, you know, we've had some really good suggestions right here, really the way the Comfort Way, you know, based on those pillars. And so what we've asked our campuses is to, you know, come up with some ideas and look at some potential character education programs. They're talking to some of the faculty advisory committees with that just to get ideas. We've already gotten some ideas here through the SHAC committee, but if there's any other ideas, even that if you think of something after, you know, after our time today, we get to meet, you know, three more times this year, but you can email in between meetings. But this will be one element that we will identify this year so that we can put in one of those character education programs and just making sure it fits those elements of the board policy. Actually, that presentation that we put up there, all of that can be found in policy online, which is on our website. But where we have under the health services, where we keep our SHAC information, where this agenda is posted and where the minutes will be posted and this audio recording will be posted, we'll put that PowerPoint up there if you ever want to look at all the policies regarding SHAC, but we'll put that information up there as well. One other part, just with the alternating of the 2 to 3 years, with that, there's something which hits dating violence, or there's something which hits bullying. There's something which hits each of those each year, so we don't really go a year without addressing that,
right.
But it's just we're addressing it in a different way. And so yeah. just to put that out there as well, because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, where, you know, you're putting together, you know, like a vacation Bible school and you want to have a lot of kids come to it and only 5 come to it. Well, you do the very best with the 5 that are there. And if you can minister and do well with 5, then you can be entrusted with 500. But, you know, you've got it. So every time we put that message out, it's important. And if it only hits one kid and changes that life, that's important. And so just getting that message out, you know, each time. And that, the word wall that you have, and you call it, it's not a word wall, but where people write nice things about other students, that's one of the coolest things that I've, you know, that I've seen. And coming from a high school background, that is really cool, because, like, when I say something to, like, my personal kids, you know, that's nice, they like it, but they're really good at avoiding eye contact, and, you know, mom and dad aren't very smart. But, like, when one of you say something nice to them, that means a lot to them. But, you know, when they get recognized by the peers, that's really powerful right there. So, and then the drug-free comfort, we talked about that. This was back in June, Dick and Julie Holmberg, along with Kevin Clariner came and just with this idea of mirroring this drug-free America and doing this with drug-free comfort. And when we look at I-10, what occurs in I-10, there's a lot of sex trafficking, human trafficking, and a lot of drug transport through I-10. A lot of it doesn't stop in Comfort. It's going to San Antonio. Going to El Paso, but some of it does, and just like in any other place. And so if you say that there's not drugs in our community or school, you're either lying or you're ignorant of it. And those are the only two, you know, those are the only two factors there, because there are drugs. Everywhere you go, there are drugs, but it's the awareness of it. And the part with this was the opioid addiction, and then the other part was, you know, we're accustomed to, you know, taking medicine for ADHD or, you know, like for anxiety or antidepressant or are just things that we need in the moment. And when they're given by a doctor and a prescription, those are very safe to do. But because pills are so prevalent, we feel very safe around it. So, like, you know, maybe, you know, I don't have a prescription for something, and I go up to my buddy Deanna, and, hey, Deanna, I am out, and man, I need something. And, hey, I found something. Here, let me, my buddy Randy had this. Let me check this out. And, we don't know where Randy got it from. And, maybe somebody made it, and it's not regulated, and they made it badly, and you can, like, die from it. And there is a professor at UTSA, and this was made in the drug-free comfort presentation, that was selling basically homemade Ritalin to college students, not only at UTSA, but there was a network like at UT and A&M and, you know, who knows where else. And she got busted, but it wasn't like some, you know, you think about going down to, you know, the dark alley, and that's where all the bad stuff happens. This was a college professor that was doing that. And so that would be somebody that you would think that you would trust, but you just have to be really, it's about the awareness that things that we think may be safe really aren't safe. Like, you know, things with vaping, or how there's marketing, to kids, like potpourri. Well, it says potpourri, so it doesn't have to be regulated, but you smoke it and it could be, bad things could happen.
But you know, Dr. Adams, that could be anything. I mean, I have to explain constantly to parents why their children can't carry their Tylenol or their Benadryl in their backpack because of the same reason. What if that backpack falls on the school bus and some little kid picks it up and takes that and has a severe reaction to it, or your naproxen falls out, or your ADHD medicine, or whatever it is you're carrying in that backpack. And I try to educate the parents on that, on why these children, yes, we know that they're 16 years old, but it's for a safety reason, because there's other children around them that are curious.
Sure.
And want to know what this is. And, oh, well, let me pick this up and let me just look at it. Let me taste it, see what it is, you know, and stuff like that. Plus, you're also on a bus with itty-bitty babies and itty-bitty little kids. And so we're not doing it because we're not saying that your child is not responsible. We're doing it to protect not only your child, but other people's.
Sure.
Students, so, and
yeah,
children as well.
Absolutely.
You know.
But it just, I'll give you a little bit, and then I'll get off the soapbox. But this was just information I found really, I just didn't realize or know. But so, like, when most of us were in high school, I mean, what our parents had to keep us away from was, like, what, alcohol and, what, like, marijuana. I mean, those were the things. And these were examples that the presenter gave. Right. And I mean, that was the deal. Well, the marijuana back in the 80s and 90s, and I don't remember the numbers and all of that, but, like, however you grade it out or score it out or the potency of it, it's like the marijuana now is like twice as potent or more. This is being recorded. So it's three times. So what I'm saying may not be accurate, but it's somewhat accurate. It's a lot stronger now than it was then. And so, but marijuana is not that's not the top thing to be afraid of now. It's synthetic marijuana, things that we vape, or counterfeit pills. I mean, that's what it is. And it's just more prevalent. And it's just providing us as parents information, but also, you know, giving our kids reasons to, you know, like, say no. And so the drug-free comfort was about that. Miss Arnold?
Well, and there's, like, the fishbowl parties that high school students will have, and they take that off to college and continue to do it. If we educate them about it, you know, it may not be going on here in comfort, but when they go off to college and they're exposed to it, you know, to have the strength to say, no, I don't want to put that in my body, I don't know what it is, and, you know, giving them good values to protect themselves. And giving them those coping skills of how to say no. I don't know what that is. I'm not going to put that in my body and have the strength to be able to
fight that. So the other part of drug-free comfort, and thank you for adding that, was a community event. And so there was one Friday night. We had high school playoff or high school football in Luling. So we weren't able to be at that, but we wanted the parents, the students, and the community to be aware of just what, you know, what's happening at I-10 and just nationwide, and especially through COVID, what the issues with drug use is. And so, you know, education and knowledge is power. And so we're looking at following up on that also, talking about human trafficking. And so, you know, just like the information that you know, our kids are putting out there in social media and who they're connecting with, there are predators out there, and how they get lured into a trafficking situation. And that is I-10 is a that there's a lot of that going on at I-10. And so we had a session last spring about like social media and internet safety. And so we're looking at having a session like that again this spring through this drug-free comfort coalition. So that's pretty cool community partnership that the district has been fortunate to be a part of. So
I have a quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
Are all the teachers Narcan trained? Usually it's through first aid. That's how they usually do it. But yeah, I just didn't know.
Yeah, like the first aid training, like, you know, coaches or mm-hmm. anyone with UIL or, you know, like the band, mm-hmm. cheerleading sponsors.
We touch base on Narcan.
Just that it's available, but they are not trained.
Available.
Okay.
Yeah.
If that's something that y'all are interested in, I have a coworker who can come and do that for you guys. Hopefully you guys never see that happen at school, but if that is something that y'all would like to do, I can set that up with a coworker. It can be for all of the teachers, the staff, you know, whatever.
You can send us some information about it. Yeah, that would be great. Thank you, Aubrey. The wellness initiative, in that first deal up there showed we can have a subcommittee to do some wellness stuff. And so we have a separate wellness initiative. And, you know, we've had the STEPS challenge and the Biggest Loser challenge for the staff in the past. And so we've renamed them to fit with the construction theme. And so Mrs. Womble's kind of helping to take the lead in some of the information getting out for the percent, the most percent weight loss. And not only just doing that, but just doing some videos about maybe some foods to make or places to go exercise and walk. And we're going to kick off the kind of the rebranding of the STEPS contest with the staff and have some teams and get some competition. And there's been a lot of donations to that. So there's going to be prizes and drawings. And you know, one thing which we've learned has been kind of deterrent is that some folks are like really big steppers and they're going to get 20,000 steps a day. And so if you're only like at 3,000 steps, that's kind of like, well, what's, you know, there's no way I'm going to get 20,000 steps. So we've kind of created thresholds like 5,000 steps. So if you're a 3,000 step person, you could like maybe bump it up to, you know, to get to 5. And then we're capping it at 10,000 steps. So you can go 20 or 25 all day long, but you're in the same category with the 10,000 step. And so you're getting like tickets, and tickets go into drawings if you hit thresholds. And so just trying to make it fun that way. Just to get more staff involved with those initiatives. So as we get things kicked off, we can share more about that. But if you have connections to anyone that wants to, you know, donate for prizes, you can certainly reach out to any of us in here, or reach out to me, and we would certainly take that. We some folks have been very generous. It's going to be fun, but just looking for fun stuff. Okay.
All right. So I think that pretty much concludes. We did go ahead and put dates down for the next 3 meetings. tentatively, I guess we'll keep it around the same time, same place, unless something changes. We'll definitely let you know, but those dates are put down. Did any of you parents have anything that you had concerns about, ideas, anything that you wanted to bring up that we haven't covered? Not really.
I do have a question, and maybe a suggestion. I don't know. Do any of the schools do recycling? Crickets?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm going to guess by the crickets.
Yeah, I know. Why the crickets?
Probably.
No.
Yeah. Jennifer?
Miranda Elementary has inquired,
inquired about that also, to start
something in the future.
Okay.
Food mainly? Yeah, food and plastics. So yeah, I'm very interested in that as well.
I mean, you can start simple even with like paper. I'm like amazed even like with helping the teacher.
Yeah,
like
bottles.
There's some simple things. You don't have to just like fill all the way in. It could be like, paper, plastic. Very simple, but I didn't know.
As far as paper, of course, there's a lot of confidential things that have to be shredded.
Yeah.
Can you give them a bag of shredded paper? I don't even know how that works.
I was reading that there are some things that you have to inquire about, you know, like what type of paper, and like you said, what condition, and all those kinds of things. So I didn't know if it was something to look into or if anybody did it, but I do understand that there are certain standards, you know, that they accept and don't accept and all that kind of good stuff. But
that would be something we'd have to find out as far as the paper end.
I'm going to guess the answer is no, we
don't.
based on that, but
okay.
Anything else?
I have a concern that has progressively gotten worse this year at the elementary campus. I'm sure not at the middle school or high school, but and this involves the cafeteria. Sorry, but
okay.
Kids buying 4 bags of chips and 4 cookies and eating nothing.
I had one that was so happy about 7 bags the other day.
Yes.
And I said, well, where's your meat? Where's your protein?
Where's your just chocolate chip cookies are this big and they're eating 4 of them at lunch. And they're not touching the fish sticks. They're not touching the meal itself. And I don't know how to address it.
I do know that there's a four cookie limit, and I was specifically told that. But that's something that we can talk about, you know, and I can definitely look into that.
I implemented that when kids were going and buying 12.
Yes.
I'm like, nope. So I had.
And I'll tell you, these cookies are huge, and you eat 4 of them, you're full. But then you're going back to the classroom.
Stomachache.
You're going back to the classroom. I'm in sugar.
Well, it's a wheat cookie. But I do understand. I do understand your concern. And thank you. And I can definitely like look into that as well, and maybe we can come up with something. But I think the cookies are served also in high school and I believe in the middle school as an a la carte item as well.
But I think they're older.
Only get one.
So it's a problem across the board. It just concerns me.
I had a kiddo the other day that was so pleased with himself that he got 7 bags of chips, and that was his lunch. Nothing
well,
else.
A lot of what's happening is they're buying it and sharing it with their friends, and that makes them feel good. I've had conversations, not obviously with everyone, but with many of them, and I'm like, what on earth do you need all of those bags for? I'm sharing it with all my friends. I'm like, does your parent know you're sharing? You know, that you're spending all this extra money buying, you know, snacks for your friends? And then some of them are putting them in their backpack and taking them, you know, taking them with them home. It's excessive.
Well, that gives us an opportunity to look at what our, you know, our food nutrition policy, you know, says, and making sure that we're that we're following here.
Do we,
I mean, yeah.
Do we have a program where they send food home in the backpacks on the weekends to families who need food?
Just at the elementary level through
is that
the churches,
do y'all do
right?
that?
On the backpack program, yes.
On the backpack program, you send food home on the weekends?
On Fridays.
Okay. At which Miss Arnold was.
But I only have 22 participants this year. It's very, very few that signed up for it.
But we had a student at the middle school that was not eating at all on the weekends. And Miss Arnold was helpful enough to be able to help me get that kid some food. And I know that Colvin and Pancratz were helping on some other issues,
There's
too.
There's probably more out there
than we have.
Well, and Deanna, you do that here at the high school.
We do. We have food. We have a little food closet.
Yeah, we have a little food closet here.
They'll pack some stuff in, or they'll come in and they haven't had breakfast, and they bring, they'll come and get like a thing of raviolis or, you know.
I don't know if y'all are aware, but Dana and I, and Deanna, we have this group of community volunteers that we send an email out to, and they have a bunch of people that if we need Gatorade or we need little soups or macaroni and cheese or whatever, we let them know what we need, and they distribute this out into the community to their little elders, what they call them, and they order this stuff off of Amazon and they send it in bulk to us. And so like Deanna and myself, we keep this stuff for kids who need something simple for breakfast, whether it's just a granola bar and Gatorade.
Yeah, but it's wonderful because y'all have been able to have the free food program.
Yeah.
So that helps these kids.
Yeah.
But we're talking kids that aren't eating on the weekends.
Yeah.
The only place they get a meal is at school now.
Yeah.
And so.
And mom's a part of that? Do y'all tell my mom about it? Anybody who might need help?
She's helping with.
Okay.
One, yes.
I was going to say, if not, let her know, because I know she enjoys doing that.
Yeah,
so.
She helped tremendously
okay.
this past
that's,
2 weeks ago, I guess.
That's awesome. And,
so.
You know, and we've given a lot of information today, but there's a lot of really good work going on and just a lot of kindness, not only with kindness and compassion with our, you know, anti-bullying programs, but just looking at, you know, feeding kids and going above and beyond with that. But that can be one thing that regarding the really kind of what spurred that from Miss Arnold is we can just verify our policy and just compare that to what our practice is. So we can do that before
well,
next meeting.
And I can tell you a couple of years ago when I did lunch duty with kindergartners, I was encouraging them to eat their pizza first because that's what's good for you. And Tomas told me if that was against the law, I can't do that. That if they want to eat the cookie, they can eat the cookie. And I thought, well, how is that teaching healthy habits? So I don't know if there's, but it's a concern.
Okay. Well, and I'll be honest with you, I've also had parent conversations that say, how dare you tell my kid they can't have as many cookies as they want. So you have both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll wrap that part up, and we'll just go back and look at our policy, and just make sure that we're, we're following that, and then also when we get into having the good nutrition and that messaging there,
right.
Making sure that we have that in place, and we're real strategic with that part right there. So, absolutely. Okay.
So in conclusion, I guess you will check into the program for the sixth grade class. I think Ms. Brummett said she was going to look into the Value Up program. I think we've got some great ideas here. I don't have anything else to add unless anyone else does. Thank y'all so much for coming. Really do appreciate y'all's participation. This was a fantastic turnout.
Thank you, and our meeting will be adjourned.